WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at Coons Ford Security Boulevard. And of course, Dennis will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5. You'll also hear him between now and then. You can find Dennis Colazzos on Thursday, 3 until 5, and then Sunday before the game for the Lions play this Sunday. Also, on Friday, we'll be back in Greenmount Station in Hampstead as part of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We'll be there from 2 until 5. We'll also be joined by Mayor Brandon Scott at Coco's on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. That'll be on the 8th of October, 2 weeks from Friday. Luke Jones joins us now to continue to put a purple bow on a signature victory by the Ravens over the Kansas City Chiefs, 36-35. It was weird. It was wild. It was entertaining. I think we talked about lots of aspects of this, but let's delve into the injuries a little bit and coming out of this game and getting ready for Detroit. There is no bigger win, right? That Lamar is saying. Is this the biggest win for Lamar that's not a playoff game? Has to be, right?
I mean, Seattle 2 years ago was big in a growing up kind of moment. The New England Sunday night game 2 years ago. But, I mean, we've talked so much about Kansas City. We've talked so much about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs being Lamar and this era of Ravens football. They're kryptonite. So I think it has to be. But I think a big part of that, Nestor, as much as you look at it being a signature win, it's also what happens after this. Would we remember Tony Banks to Shannon Sharpe as fondly if the Ravens didn't win the Super Bowl that year? Would we remember, the 2012 elements of the 2012 season if they don't win the Super Bowl that year? You know, the Mile High Miracle, would we remember that in the same way? You know, if the Ravens,
I don't remember any of the miracles before Billy Cundiff missed that kick. I don't remember what the hell happened that year. I know there were a lot of miracles because we got there, but you don't remember anything when you lose.
Sure. I mean, and that's the thing. So, not to put the pressure on them because we don't know what's going to happen. And as I mentioned, and you just alluded to it, the injuries are still a very real part of what they're dealing with in terms of not thinking about those guys, but understanding you still have 15 more games to navigate. So it's not just who you've lost. It's inevitably who are you going to lose in the coming weeks? And you hope they're not major injuries. You hope they're not catastrophic season-ending type injuries to really key players. But you know you're not going to go through the rest of the season injury-free. And we saw that on Sunday night with Deshaun Elliott leaving with a concussion late in the first half. I did see he was tweeting later on in the night, so he must not have been feeling too terrible. But with the protocol, we'll see what his availability is for Sunday against Detroit. And then Brandon Williams with a neck strain. Anytime you're dealing with a neck, not to sound the alarm that it's a major injury, because we had no idea about that as of late Sunday night. But he was forced out early in the third quarter. And when it is a neck, it's something you have to be careful with. So hopefully nothing too serious there. And you mentioned in one of our previous segments, the Ravens run defense historically struggles when he's not out there. And Kansas City didn't run the ball a whole lot. You know, obviously they did late and it cost them big time with the Edwards-Helaire fumble. But we know how important Brandon Williams has been to their run defense. So it'll be something to monitor at least this week. But the good news, despite the fact you're going on the road and you never want to take that for granted, the challenge of going on the road in the NFL, you are facing a Detroit Lions team that expectations not very high. And let's just say the Ravens will have to bring some, you know, we heard that expression, bring your own energy last year a lot with playing in empty stadiums and not having the same atmosphere. I think it'll be one of those scenarios on Sunday because you know, you're talking about a fan base in Detroit who has no expectations at this point. How could they after decades and decades of what they've watched? But the Ravens, you know, not a short week by days, but you know, with it being a Sunday night game, you know, it is a little bit of a quicker turnaround and then you're on the road. So you want to start fast. You want to play clean, crisp football and get out of Detroit with a win. Because as we mentioned, you know, that Denver game in 2 weeks, maybe a little more challenging than it looked on paper, you know, when the schedule came out, but you know, we've talked about it. This first half schedule, not to say that it's a cakewalk by any means. And I think week one was a good example of that with how the Raiders played against them. But we know what the second half of the schedule looks like with AFC North games and the Packers and the Rams coming to Baltimore. it's a challenge. It's a bear in terms of 2020 playoff teams. So, you know, this is your opportunity now. You know, you slipped up in week one. It happens. But you're 1-1 now, and you got a chance to stack some victories here and really put yourself in a good position as you get to the bye week in late October.
Luke Jones joining us here. You can, of course, find him brought to you by Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast, out in Owings Mills on a daily basis. We'll be heading out there. I'll get my COVID test this week, Luke, so I can hang out. I want to talk about the offense, not just Lamar, but when these wide receivers, when it gets going for real, when Bateman gets back, what it will look like, what the offensive line's really going to look like in week 8 or week 10 or week 12, and Ronnie Stanley, and where Villanueva is going to play, what this McCary thing looks like now. And I remember the first time I looked at him out in LA 2 years ago. And, you know, if I could sit and interview Patrick McCary, I mean, he'd be interesting, right? I mean, for all the movement that he's had in this offensive line since he came into this thing. And then the running backs. We didn't even know their names 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, certainly didn't want Tyson Williams running the football as of 2 weeks ago. He looks primary at this point. You mentioned the Devonta Freeman. You mentioned Latavius Murray. And making it more normalized. It can't be normal when a dude comes into practice on Wednesday and you're like, we're going to hand you the ball 12 times in Las Vegas on Sunday night. That's not normal. Normal meaning they're getting practices in now. They're living without Marcus Peters on the back end, and he's not coming back. I don't know where Brandon Williams is, but trying to find. It's nice that they won. It was frenetic. It was crazy. I'm trying to figure out people's jerseys, numbers, and stuff. But they are the team now. Devonta Freeman and Tyson. These are the guys. And the more they can practice together, the better this could look. And I'm trying to figure out where the ceiling is. I keep going back to this. And to your point, nobody cares that they beat the Chiefs in September once it's November. It's just going to be a win. And maybe it'll matter in January on seeding or where you go and all that. But this is about how good can the team be in January. That's where they're going to be measured. We've known that all along. And now that they've beaten the Chiefs and we think they're good enough all of a sudden, can they win a Super Bowl? And how will they do that? They'll do that by making Devonta Freeman one of their own, making you know, all of these, bringing Bateman back in, and somehow, when he gets healthy, getting him part of the offense, because they've lost so many guys that the team that they thought they were on the first day of training camp is not the team they are 6 weeks later.
Yeah, and that happens more than you think, though. I mean, when you really think and go back to some of the, you know, even some of the best Ravens teams, I mean, go back and look at 2008, the number of injuries, you know, they had then. Go look at the 2012 Super Bowl team, the injuries they had that season. I mean, Ray Lewis didn't play most of that season. I mean, think about that.
I ran into Jameel McClain before the game on the bridge. He was injured. Right?
He got hurt. Ladarius Webb, who was their top corner at the time, got hurt. I mean, and let's just be clear about this. The injuries that they've had, if you had that over the course of a whole season, it wouldn't be extraordinary. It's just that it's been such a short period of time, and you're just keeping your fingers crossed now that that doesn't continue and things normalize. You know, you get some regression to the mean in a positive direction as it relates to the injuries. But yeah, you're trying to get these guys acclimated. And we talked about this. As much as it hurts to lose J.K. Dobbins with the ceiling that I thought he had in being a Pro Bowl caliber running back, you know, maybe the best running back the Ravens have had since Ray Rice in terms of just what he can do from a playmaking ability standpoint. It hurts to lose Gus Edwards, who we know offered that really high floor for them. You know, you penciled in Gus the last 3 years, 700 yards, 5+ yards per carry. I mean, that's darn good, you know, for a number two running back. But when you look at how Sunday night played out, I mean, what stands out first and foremost, Lamar carries the ball 16 times, over 100 yards. I think he had a first down or scored a touchdown on, you know, as a very high percentage of those. So very efficient, very successful when he carried the football. But then you look at the rest of the guys. Tyson Williams, 13 carries, 77 yards. I thought this was interesting. He fumbles at the goal line. And what's the narrative with John Harbaugh that, you know, running back fumbles and they're in the doghouse, right? They kept giving them the ball. Now, he wasn't the feature back, which Ravens really haven't had a feature back. I mean, Mark Ingram wasn't carrying the ball 20 times per game 2 years ago when he was a Pro Bowl running back. He still, you know, had a little over 200 carries for the season. But Tyson Williams, 13 carries. Murray, 9 carries. We mentioned Freeman, only 2 carries, although one of them went for 31 yards. So, you're seeing that, and what'll be interesting is seeing how that evolves. I mean, Tyson Williams to me has made a very strong early claim to continue to be the number one guy, but we know that the number one guy in a Greg Roman rushing attack is not going to be Jamal Lewis carrying it 25 or 30 times per game. They're just not going to do that. In fact, Greg Roman reiterated that this week, the days of one running back carrying the load, they're just not going to do that. So you look at that distribution and, you know, those three guys, and who knows if Le'Veon Bell enters that mix at some point. Of course, he's on the practice squad, but hey, you look at it, and certainly Lamar Jackson averaging 6.7 yards per carry helps, but 251 yards on 41 carries, 6.1 yards per pop or per run, pretty darn good. And I think what's interesting, Nestor, and you know, throw us into this conversation, we always talk about the novelty of this offense as though it remains static, as though teams are going to catch up to it. Kansas City Chiefs have seen this 4 years in a row, and give them credit. Steve Spagnuolo and the defensive coaching staff the last couple of years, especially last year, really did a good job bottling up the Ravens, bottling up Lamar Jackson. So they're familiar with it, right? They've seen this system. They've played against Lamar plenty. They didn't stop him on Sunday night. So isn't that maybe just a little reminder that as much as we kind of think about this in terms of, and you hear it all the time, national pundits and talking heads saying, oh, the league's going to catch up to Lamar Jackson. Well, Kansas City's played him multiple times now, and they didn't come close to catching up and stopping Lamar Jackson other than the first quarter on Sunday night. So it's just a reminder that while these teams are seeing the Ravens more and they're more exposed to what the Ravens do, and yes, more, you know, you have a book of so-called best practices on how to slow down this defense, doesn't mean you're stopping it. And it doesn't mean the Ravens aren't evolving in the process. And heck, the Ravens have had to evolve out of necessity with all these injuries. And you know, we'll see what the offensive line's going to look like in terms of, you know, kind of the, you know, if you want to call it ominous comments from John Harbaugh about Ronnie Stanley and whether he's going to be back anytime soon. But they made it work. And the running game was really good. The passing game, I mean, Marquise Brown now has 8 touchdowns in his last 8 regular season games. I mean, this is a guy who, in a league-wide sense, maybe isn't a number one wide receiver, but he's definitely, we've seen it since the early December last year, is really becoming a go-to guy for Lamar Jackson, which he's needed because we've seen even early this season, and we saw it with the Raiders last week, teams are doubling Mark Andrews. Teams are giving a lot of attention to Mark Andrews over the middle of the field. So when you have that, someone else has to step up and make plays. And we've seen Marquise Brown really do that over these first 2 weeks. And it's a continuation of what he did late last year. So positive to see that. And, you know, it's just another reason to be optimistic, despite the real concerns that do still exist, even with Sunday night's win.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. We're out on social media all week long, getting ready for the Detroit game. I want to remind everybody, Johnny O joined us as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. This Friday, we're going to be at a Greenmount Station in Hampstead with my friend Chris, eating some crab cakes. I might even throw some ribs back as part of the... Hey, I did Crab Imperial last week at Costas. I'm wearing my Costas shirt here. So you can check all that stuff out. We also have Maryland Restaurant Week. So for anybody thinking about dining this week, all over the state of Maryland, there's great deals. 3-course meals, prefix price, always saving a little bit of dough. It's Maryland Restaurant Week. Go to MarylandRestaurantWeek.com to learn more. Luke, I want to talk a little bit more about the league itself and sitting around now. We've had 2 weeks where I sat around and watched all of Sunday, watched Thursday all of Sunday, and waited for Monday Night Football in Vegas last week. This week, weird, sitting around Sunday, 10 games at 1 o'clock, Steelers, Browns, Bengals all playing at the same time. I think on a week-by-week basis, we don't think the Steelers are good enough. We think the Browns are too good. You know, I guess the time we will be 6, 8, 10 weeks seeing any of these teams, right? So we're seeing these AFC West teams right now. We're going to see Denver 2 weeks from now. We're going to go through the entire AFC West before my birthday in the middle of October, right? But the teams that we keep an eye on when we have a chance to watch them play, because we play simultaneously, it's just a scoreboard watch. I've kind of enjoyed these first 2 weeks of having every year, if we can play Sunday and Monday night where I can sit and watch all the teams play and figure out who the quarterbacks and who the coaches and, you know, where the strengths and the weaknesses are. It's been a fun couple of weeks for the league. And I know we I beat up the baseball team all the time because they deserve it. And it's unwatchable. It's terrible. You love baseball and you talk about it being terrible. The first two Ravens games have been exciting, up all night, edge your seat. I talked about all these young people that I've never seen who were at the game on Sunday night and this sort of new generation to getting excitement. It's a different game now, right? Gambling it on your phone, watching games on your phone, moving around, red zone. I was down at Hammerjacks. They had televisions up at outdoor bars everywhere downtown. I'm watching the 4 o'clock games and the Cowboys. And I'm like, oh, we played the Chargers. Got to keep an eye on them. So there's a little bit of scouting involved in this. But the league has had a nice couple of weeks to start things after plague, NBA and NHL playing out of season, baseball falling off a cliff. Football is back. It's on time. It much like last year, it's competitive and normalized in a way that college football, I think it's still sort of feeling itself with masks and campuses and Ohio State losing and Maryland winning with miracles. But for the NFL, dare I say, there are very few things that have felt normal the last 20 months, anytime, anywhere. There's been something nice and comforting about the league coming back for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it really went anywhere last year, even with the weirdness. I mean, we talked about how representative the product was. I think I'll disagree with you. I think college football has been off to a good start and has been pretty entertaining. But that aside, yeah, I mean, the NFL's king. I think the downer has been the injuries, which we talked about this from the moment J.K. Dobbins went down. This is a league of attrition and injuries, and whether it's OTAs, whether it's training camp, whether it's the preseason, whether it's regular season, September or January. I mean, you're going to have injuries. And I thought what was really strange in the 1 o'clock time, 1 o'clock games on Sunday was number of quarterbacks that went down. Now, some of them were like Baker Mayfield, who went out very briefly, had an injury to his non-throwing shoulder and then came back in. But you know, you see Tua, you see Andy Dalton and the strangeness now and what's going to happen there with Fields and, you know, the Bears becoming more interesting when he's on the field, even if that doesn't necessarily going to equate to wins for them. But you know, it's fun. And I mentioned this in one of our previous conversations, but you look at the AFC right now and the Jets are 0-2. They've looked bad. You have Jacksonville 0-2. They've looked bad. Indianapolis 0-2. You know, Wentz is hurt. I mean, it's been a rough start for them considering the expectations. But then you have all these teams, including all, you know, basically all the playoff teams from last year are 1-1. And Kansas City isn't invincible. And Buffalo isn't invincible because we saw Pittsburgh beat them week one. The Ravens, as disappointing and, you know, the panic that it sparked among so many in the fan base with the loss to the Raiders on Monday night, week one, is erased. And then, you know, optimism's pushing in the other direction after beating the Chiefs. But, you know, it's just, it looks very wide open, and that's what you want. And the parity discussion probably ends up getting overblown when you consider where New England's been over the last two decades. You know, Tom Brady exit notwithstanding, but just where they've been since the new millennium and where Pittsburgh is year after year, where the Ravens have been for the most part year after year. You know, the best organizations have that tendency to stay at the top. But, you know, as far as, you know, those wild card spots, as far as kind of the jockeying for at least being a somewhere in that contender slash pretender category, it's a lot of fun. I mean, look at Tennessee. They look so terrible week one. Looked like they were on their way to going to 0-2 on the road and losing to the Seahawks. And then Derrick Henry just goes nuts and they're feeling better about themselves. So, I mean, it really is a week-to-week league anyway.
It's a 1-1 league.
it really is. But early on, especially, because you don't know where all these teams are. I mean, you have young quarterbacks. I mean, you have quarterbacks playing, and I mean, look at Tampa Bay last year. I mean, it got to November, you still weren't sure if the Buccaneers were okay. They're a playoff team, but are they anything special? And then they win the Super Bowl. So it's fun. It's great theater, and I've mentioned this before. We spend hours upon hours talking about it relative to the actual games that are played. You know, I mean, you get 17 data points now, 17 3-hour data points to kind of show you what all these teams are all about, compared to the hours and hours we talk about it in the off season with, you know, the one free agency and the draft and OTAs and training camp and who looks good, who looks bad, who gets hurt, who's healthy, all those different things we talk about. And then they play the games and you get what the Ravens and the Chiefs did on Sunday night, what the Ravens and the Raiders did last Monday night. What Tampa Bay and Dallas did in the season opening game. You get great theater. You get great games. You know, these nationally televised games in an era where TV ratings for everything stinks, basically, except football. And it really just speaks to the love of the game in this country, and you know, even internationally more and more. But it really is, for all of its flaws, and they have their flaws, there's no question about that, it really is a great entertaining product. And you know what the Ravens and the Chiefs did on Sunday night, I mean, boy, you get if every team could be guaranteed one or two of those a year at the very least, I mean, you're tuning in every week. I mean, the theater is that good. And you know, it's that ramp up. I mean, you know, the other sports, baseball's every day, the NBA, the NHL, they play, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a week. You get once a week shot at this. So there is that buildup. And then when it lives up to the expectations as it did on Sunday night, exceeds expectations, given what we were thinking this banged up Ravens team was going to be able to do or not be able to do against Kansas City, really is a lot of fun. And yeah, Detroit, you know, going to Detroit and facing the Lions, not going to have nearly the same buzz, but everyone's going to be tuning in anyway. And it just speaks to just how entertaining, how good the product really is.
All right, Luke will be in Owings Mills all week long. All of it brought to you by our friends, Royal Farms, real fresh, real fast. We have a very, very active week around here. Johnny O from Costas last week as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We're going to be playing the waiting game here all week, waiting for the Detroit Lions. Then it's the Denver Broncos. Plenty of activity around here. You can always find Luke at WNST.net. He is Baltimore Luke out on the social media place. Nasty at WNST.net reaches me, and I'll be around all week working hard as always, entertaining the troops and awaiting more rock and roll. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking the magic of Lamar Jackson and Baltimore positive.